And speaking for myself, it can become routine. But let's remember this morning, on this beautiful day outside, that we are the bride of Christ. Christ died for us. It's a privilege that we can get together right now as the body of Christ, encourage each other, hear His word, worship on this day. So if we're here for an hour, 15 minutes, that's what Christ died for. And we can do it freely in this country.
Yes.
How good is that? Huh? It's a privilege.
Yes.
And the worship team, which I told one person what I was going to talk about this morning. Already, three scriptures from the passages I'm speaking today have already been read. So for me, that's confirmation of what needs to be spoken of today.
Yes.
The subject today, I hate to say it, we'd say it's not really a pleasant subject. As a matter of fact, we talk about it, but a lot of times we don't go into it in depth. Because it bothers us. It troubles us. But we need to speak the whole counsel of God. Not just the fun stuff, not the pretty stuff, the things that always make us feel good. Although there's going to be a lot of joy in this message, we think it's not, but we're going to discover that there is. So, that being said, we're going to start with James chapter 1, verse 2. All of you are probably familiar with that.
They just said it in the worship.
That's right. Doug read it.
They started right off the first one.
Amen. So, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. All right. Consider it pure joy. Why? Because consider it pure joy when you go through trials of many kinds, it says, right? Why? Very clear definition in here. Why? It tells us what. Because it develops perseverance, which leads to maturity and completeness in your faith, so that you lack nothing. There's a purpose for it. We might not enjoy it. We might not like it. But He gives us clearly what the purpose is for it. Perseverance, huh? Continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties like failure or opposition. Steadfastness, perseverance. Completeness in your faith, lacking nothing. Trials build you up. They mature you. They complete you in your faith. Amen. Easy enough, you've all heard it. Don't like it. Paul goes on in Romans 5, and I'll go there. Did I give you that one?
Yep. I got it.
Okay. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4.
Flaw, can you move that mic, the other mic, just out of the way? Because you're getting an echo when you...
You want me to shut it?
No, it doesn't shut. Yeah, just...
Oh, okay.
That's fine.
All right. Romans 5, 4, 3 and 4. All right. Then we reach down. Let's see. I'm sorry here. Okay. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Kind of goes opposite of what you think. Rejoice in suffering. Because we know that this suffering, again, it produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. We rejoice in our sufferings because it produces perseverance, character, hope. It does not disappoint. The same thing what James says, just adding a few more of the benefits, I guess, of suffering. So we got trials, we got suffering. We've all heard and read this before. We may not like it, but we get it. It's pretty well defined in these two passages what the purpose of testing is for. Paul doesn't make light of suffering, but he's telling you what it does for believers. We're talking about believers now. We're not talking about non-believers. These are the messages for us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1.
Verse 1 or 11?
Oh, I'm sorry, 12, 11.
Okay, just checking.
Discipline. You got trials, you got discipline. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Nobody likes discipline at the time, right? We don't like trials, we don't like discipline. Again, there's a purpose for it. Not pleasant, it's painful, and it produces righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Righteousness, the quality of being morally right. Means we're walking right. It means we're obeying what the Lord has us to do over and over again. We're being disciplined. He's teaching us how to walk in the manner that we should walk. And it gives us peace. Hard to have peace in the middle of trials, suffering, discipline. But it does give us peace. You think all the opposite happens in the flesh. But it gives you actually what you need.
Claude, all you're saying, everything that you're saying so far, I spent a little time in the military. All about the military right there.
Somebody give them that mic or something. Well, you'll have to repeat that for us. Thank you.
Everything you mentioned, Claude, I remind me about the military. The discipline, the sacrifices. It's all hand in hand. It's real simple. And that's God's teaching right there. And it's spot on. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you. It's something that the Lord has put on my heart now for a little bit. And when I started reading it, when the first time it caught it a little bit, I was like, I don't want any of this. It doesn't seem to make sense. You would think the opposite would happen when you're struggling. But according to Scripture, this is good. Let's go on to Philippians chapter 1, verses 29 and 30. Paul is in prison. He's speaking to the Philippians who are being persecuted right now. This is what he's got to say. He says, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for Him." Since you are going through the same struggles you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Don't only believe, but you have the privilege of suffering for him. Wow. You get benefits from it. Privilege, blessing, perseverance, maturity, character, hope, harvest of righteousness, peace, all in the middle of adversity, all in the middle of trials, discipline, persecution. You would think not, right? Let's go on to chapter 4 for a minute. You get peace, not fear, in the middle of all this. Eight to nine. So in all of this, in prison and suffering and persecution, what does Paul say to them in chapter 4? Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. How do you do that in the middle of persecution, huh? Wow. Think about everything that's good. Stay focused. Stay focused on the Lord. Stay focused on anything that is good. It seems to say that will get you through it. That will help you moving forward. Who wants to suffer for Christ today? Huh? Raise your hand. There we go. One, two, three. Now. Wow.
We got it.
I'm not making light of this. Past believers, we know from the day of, just about the day of Pentecost on, suffering. You know,
yes.
Tough stuff.
Yes.
To death.
Yes.
All kinds of ways. So please, I'm not making light of this. All right. Have you ever thought of how you would hold up under persecution?
Mm-hmm.
Never? I mean, yes, huh?
Yes.
I have.
Yes.
Vicki and I have talked about it lately.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I would like to think I would do well. I would like to think that I will not deny Christ. To tell you that I'm 100% sure, and I'm ashamed to say this, I'm not, because I haven't walked in those shoes yet. I love the Lord. He's died for me. Believers before me have went ahead and done it. I see the benefits of it, so to speak. But, you know, all things considered, it's...
On.
It would be tough. Yes, grab that.
Mike.
Thank you.
That song, I Did As Well With My Soul, that was written by a guy called Horatio Spafford. And in 1871, his 4-year-old son died in the fire in Chicago. He also was a prominent lawyer and a real estate guy.
Yep.
So he lost his shirt. Economically, he was involved with Moody, and they were going to Europe to do some ministry over there. He got sidetracked because of economic things. So he sent his wife and 4 daughters over on the ship, and the ship sank, and his 4 daughters died. His wife lived, but so that song came from that.
Amazing.
You know, that wasn't like the furnace broke down, he had a flat tire.
Amazing.
Life-changing stuff. And he still wrote that song in As Well With My Soul.
Yeah.
The Spirit in us, I believe, gives us the strength we need at the time we need it. We in the United States, again, we haven't suffered that kind of persecution that the rest of the world has. But some of the world is suffering, right?
Yes.
In China, they burn the churches down. They put you in prison. Africa is being persecuted a lot, to my understanding. Iran, the Christians are being persecuted a lot. We are fortunate. We don't know what the future brings. But we have to have an understanding of the possibilities, I guess. Acts chapter 5. We're going to see something that happened in the old church. The beginning of the church. Verse 40, right? I'll get there. Okay. Peter and John, they've been arrested, right? Second time. They've been told over and over again, we don't want you preaching about Christ anymore. The Pharisees are upset. The Sanhedrin's upset. John and Peter say, along with some other apostles, you decide. But as for us, we must obey God rather than men. I'm picking up in verse 40. One of the men in the Sanhedrin counsels them, leave these guys alone. His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and they had them flogged. Paul said he had been flogged what? 39 times? Yeah, no, 5 times. 39 minus 1 or something like that. I guess if you're flogged 40 times, you're pretty much dead. So they got flogged, then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore, and they let him go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing. Yeah. Because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Wow. Rejoicing after you've gotten flogged. My mind doesn't even understand that, right? Why were they rejoicing? Because of the name above all names. You know the name, the name of Jesus. They were rejoicing because they identified themselves with Christ. For these apostles, it meant everything to them to be identified with Christ. Suffering for what they believed and preached to them was evidence that these men, that they were truly in Christ, that they were sons of God. They rejoiced that they were worthy to be recognized as that. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, right, he warned them that this was happening. He didn't leave them alone. He told them, remember, I'm telling you, this is going to happen to you. And when this happened, they rejoiced because they knew they were walking where they were supposed to be walking. Let's go to John chapter 15. A lot of scripture today. There's a lot on this topic in the Bible. I was shocked. Chapter 15, we'll start with verse 18. Jesus speaking before he ascends up into heaven, talking to his the apostles. Says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Speaking to his apostles here too. Maybe us, huh? If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name. What did they say? Suffering disgrace for his name. The name of Jesus, the name above all names. We got a lot of religions in the world. It's only one religion that truly offends non-believers. And it's the one that preaches Jesus. You know? Why is that, huh? Because it's truth. And the world doesn't want to hear truth. They don't want to hear that they're sinners and that they need forgiveness. I didn't want to hear it before I became a believer. All right. You know that Jesus doesn't take it lightly when we're persecuted. It's not something that he enjoys seeing us go through by any means. Persecuting the church is persecuting Jesus. In Acts chapter 9, verses 4, 5, and 6, Saul is on his way to Damascus. Remember? Saul becomes Paul. He's on his way there to arrest Christians, men and women, and put them in prison. Bring them back to Jerusalem and put them in prison. He's vigilant for it. He's going to arrest anybody who calls himself part of the way. That's what we were first called, part of the way. Sees a great light, gets knocked off his horse, goes, loses his vision, and then he hears this voice. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? This is after Jesus ascended into heaven now. Keep that in mind. And then he says, who are you? He says, I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. Christ had already gone. Paul was going to arrest men and women in the way. Jesus takes it personal. Personal. Persecute the church, you're persecuting him. Just remember, we are the bride of Christ. We are one with the Lord. Again, the same Paul states in 2 Corinthians, to keep him from becoming conceited, because he had received some great revelations. Remember Paul? Great revelations. He was given a thorn in the flesh, he said. A messenger from Satan to torment him. I don't think we know what that was, but it doesn't sound very good. The same Paul says, I prayed to God 3 times that he would take it away from me. Sure, it wasn't great, whatever it was painful. But... And this is what the Lord responded to them, right? We heard it this morning. My grace is sufficient. Why? For my power is made perfect in weakness. I apologize if I'm getting emotional. That's just what I am. My power is made perfect in weakness. That explains me a little bit, right? When we are weak, he is strong. That's when he's glorified.
Yes.
That's part of the reason for trials, suffering, and persecution. That's when Christ stands out. Why otherwise would people, you know, just suffer and rejoice? Suffer and be glad. All right. Last passage. Let's go to 1 Peter. Peter has a lot to say about it. Chapter 4. We'll start with verse 12. He says, speaking to believers again, not the world, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange was happening to you. Don't think that, hey, you're going through this, God forgot about us or something. That this is strange. I'm not supposed to go through this. I'm not supposed to suffer like this. What, did God fall off the throne? Don't be surprised if you suffer. As if something strange is happening to you. He's telling us. He's explaining it. 13. But rejoice. Here's that word again. Have you ever thought you'd hear that much rejoicing tied to persecution? Rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. Rejoice. Overjoyed when His glory is revealed. When is His glory going to be revealed? When He returns. Revelation 19, Melinda read it. What a day will that be? Press on towards the goal. What's the goal? For the day when Christ returns. And everything is made new.
Yes.
14. If you are... If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, what? You're blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. Amen.
Yes.
I don't leave you alone, Jesus says. I'm leaving you with my Spirit. I'm not leaving you as orphans. I've given you a Spirit. Spirit helps us in times like those, right? He gives us a strength that I don't have by myself. That's for darn sure. Insulted for the name of Christ. Blessed because of the Spirit of God resting. You are a believer. You belong to Christ. You're blessed. Verse 15 now. It seems to be out of context to me, but if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even a meddler.
Claude.
Sir.
Can I have a mic for a second?
Yeah.
Just to kind of clarify that.
Thank you.
So there's a clarification that goes with that, right? He's clarifying, in my mind, he's clarifying. Okay. Like, listen, you're not going to... There's no joy in suffering if you're a murderer.
Right.
If you're a thief. You know, wait, there's joy in suffering if you're suffering for Christ.
Amen.
Not for any of this other stuff that man does. You know what I mean? That's the clarification there in my mind.
No, I like that. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Don't suffer for the wrong reasons.
Don't suffer for the wrong reasons.
Yeah,
right?
Don't suffer for the wrong reasons. Then he goes on, he says 16. However, if you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed. I mean, you can't. I've been there. But praise God that you bear that name. Jared, Ben.
I want to ask what Reggie was just saying and what you're actually preaching on so we don't misunderstand it or interpret it wrong.
Right.
Because you're talking about suffering, living for Christ.
Right.
Okay, not doing foolish things. And yeah. I'll give you an example. Last Saturday I did something foolish. Long about Wednesday, I'm flat on my back. I can't work, I can't move, not sure why. Well, I poisoned myself with arsenic, but I got a deck and I'm burning it to treat it, and my spindles are out of pressure treated. Do not, and take my advice, smell burnt pressure treated
lemon. Wow, good to know.
It gives you arsenic, okay? And just ironic, when it happened, Steve called me on Wednesday to see how I was doing. So I'm flat on my back, I can't move, the pain is crazy. And I thought about asking him for prayer, but I didn't. And some people are probably saying, why didn't you? Why would God heal me for doing something that I did? And I should have known better. To me, it would have been absolutely foolish to ask for prayer. If you ask me, maybe y'all might not agree, but it's the same with other things. You speed, I mean, you shove your in your face donuts and Twinkies and all this other stuff, or you lust, or any other things that come at you and they cause you to sin, you know? Asking for prayer on that, ask for prayer to change.
Yes.
Amen.
Have wisdom.
Amen. You know, and at the end of that verse it says, even as a meddler. It does to me, you know, a meddler is like, it's bad, but it's, you know, it's not as bad as a murderer, right? But, you know, I guess in the eyes of the Lord, it is bad.
Yeah.
It is bad. All right. Do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Remember the name again. The name of Jesus, the Christian, the way, belonging to Christ, the bride of Christ. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God?
Right.
Again, I mean, at first I said, do we have to go to judgment? We go through trials. We do stand before the Lord and give an account. Mm-hmm. But our judgment is not the judgment of the world, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. We suffer, we're persecuted, but our judgment leads to eternal life, right? Amen.
Yes.
The world's judgment leads to damnation.
Yeah.
Eternal death. Hell.
Right.
Definitely a different judgment. Rejoice that our judgment leads to eternal life. Because of what Christ did for us. Not because of what we did for ourselves. Not for any works that we do. It is hard for the righteous to be saved. What will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will, get that. I never thought suffering was part of God's will. those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to be faithful. Should commit themselves to their faithful God and continue to do good. Keep your eyes on the prize. Continue to do good. Don't give up. Press on forward. Don't think that something as strange is happening if you're suffering for Christ. We're being warned. We're being told. I don't want it. Even now, I don't want it. But at least, let's understand it. Let's be prepared. This is the Word of God. Let's digest it. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. We spoke a lot about the world. We spoke a lot about our enemies. We spoke a lot about people that persecute us. What does Jesus have to say about these people? Again, in my flesh I don't get it. Chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor. And I love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Those who persecute you. Not that just, get you mad. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what would you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing? What are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? But be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. For me to love my neighbors who persecute me, I would have to be perfect. I mean, that would be difficult. But that's what Christ is telling us, the attitude we should have towards our enemies. I'd have to be perfect for them. Love them. Pray for them. Why? That you may be sons, daughters of your Father in heaven. Something to think about. And so, does that sound like retaliation to you? I've heard it said, defend yourself. I know that I don't understand it. But if I read this, it doesn't seem like we're supposed to retaliate. I'll let you study that. I'll let you seek that. I'll let you ask the Lord about that. That's a whole other message, I'm sure. But remember what Jesus, in closing, remember what Jesus, he was on the cross, crucified. What does he pray? About the soldiers.
Forgive them.
Because they don't know what they're doing. How do you do that?
Without him, we can't.
You can't, exactly. I can't be perfect without him. I can't understand some of this without him. I can't go through this without him. You have to be as close as you can. Remember what Jesus said? In your weakness, I am made strong.
Yes.
That says a lot. If you're ever okay with the fact that people going to hell are going to hell, something's wrong. Mm-hmm. Something's wrong. It's easy to hate your neighbor. I mean, but if you're ever okay with people going to hell, there's something wrong. Check your heart out. Because our mission, our goal, is to spread the good news, right? That's what we call the good news. That Christ died for their sins too. We are ambassadors of Christ. And what's our message? Be reconciled with God. It's simple. The world doesn't want to hear it. I hate to say it, but not everybody's going to get saved according to Scripture. But our message is the same. Be reconciled with God. Make peace with God through Jesus Christ our Son. Well, I hope you got a different perspective on persecution today, on suffering today, on trials. Not saying that persecution is coming, but hopefully we understand it a little bit. I'm going to end with this. And we've already heard it. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like a loud peals of thunder shouting, "Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen and bright clean was given to her to wear. Then the angel said to me, 'Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb.' And he added, 'These are the true words of God.'" The goal. That day. Fine linen. Keep that in mind. Rejoice in that. Have peace in that. That's the ending. We have here to there. Let us press on. Let us move forward. Let us encourage each other. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.